The future of the world is in the hands of those young men and women. We're attending their higher studies in the colleges and universities today. But unfortunately, throughout all the world, and unfortunately, even in this great land of Bharatvarsha, India, which is since time immemorial has been the spiritual capital of the planet, the education which young people are receiving is technically very elaborate, but utterly superficial and destroying the inner sentiments of the young generation. In fact, our spiritual master declared that the educational systems in the world were spiritual slaughterhouses. Why? Because knowledge is power. And when power is in the right hands, it has the greatest beneficial effect. And when it is in the wrong hands, it is the cause of the greatest suffering and devastation. And what determines whether knowledge is in the right hands or wrong hands? It is a question of whether what we learn is on the basis of truth or a lie, illusion. And the colleges today do not dare to even speak on this subject of what is truth, what is the purpose of life, what are the qualities that we should be developing in our lives. So, of course, all of the politicians, all of the doctors, all of the lawyers, all of the big business people, all of the scientists of tomorrow are in the colleges today. So what will they do to this planet unless they learn how to love? Unless they learn how to be compassionate, unless they learn how to cleanse their own hearts of greed and lust and envy and pride and anger and illusion, then they will simply accentuate and accelerate the suffering and the pollution of humanity. Therefore, for spiritual development and spiritual education to go alongside with our academic life is essential for the survival of any sense of decency or holiness within this world. But generally, students are under so much pressure, they don't have time to ask the relevant questions of life. For instance, what am I doing? I'm just working like an ass so that I can find some nice marriage partner and get a good amount of money and have a nice house and have a nice car and have a telephone and a television and maintain my family nicely. Is there anything beyond that to life? The animals are also surviving and maintaining family members. And the people who are polluting the oceans, the air, the seas, the ground, and the minds of humanity are all those who are the most highly educated. So it is a grave necessity. If we don't have time for spirituality, we are cheating ourselves, we are cheating the world. And we are part of the most terrible problem that have ever faced mankind. Because without spirituality, there can be no real morality. And without spirituality or morality, it is just an accumulation of sinful karma. So how many young people are willing to use their good intelligence and stand against all the odds of ignorance and seek the truth while they were in the colleges and universities today? How many? Due to ignorance and pitiful waste of human existence, people will ridicule you, they will make fun of you, they will criticize you, because they're simply sold out to be exploited by the forces of ignorance. And they want to suck you into that ignorance. And all the propaganda of this world wants to suck you into that force of ignorance. How many young men and women are willing to stand up against those forces and say, "No, I'm going to live for the truth. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care who laughs, who criticizes, or who threatens. I must seek the truth in my life, and I must live by those principles. And I can study hard and become best I possibly can in my profession or my occupation based on these principles of truth and God consciousness." The hope of the whole world is in the hands of those few people like you who are willing to stand up for Krishna and purify your lives and develop high spiritual and moral character and understand the goal of life and understand the true principles of compassion, love, and mercy, and then to perform your work efficiently in this world on that foundation. The ignorant, they often accuse that if you become self-satisfied with religion, you will not have the incentive or the impetus to work hard and perform your work efficiently. But in Bhagavad Gita, this has been refuted. Because Arjuna, he was a warrior, and he fought for the truth, and there was no one who fought more enthusiastically and efficiently than him. And the Bhagavad Gita was spoken for people of every profession. Perform your work well. Arjuna went to a university. He went to the ashram of Dronacharya. It was like a college for soldiers. And he learned. He learned better than anyone else. He practiced his lessons with more determination than anyone else. Why? Because he was doing it for Krishna. And Duryodhana and Dushasana and all of the Kurus, they didn't work and study as hard as Arjuna, because they were motivated by greed. And love is a greater power than greed. Love impels one to action much greater than greed. And when we are speaking of spiritual life, we are speaking of cleansing our hearts and being inspired by God and His representatives to work in a spirit of love and devotion, not greed and exploitation. And with that motive, why will you not work to your full capacity to do the best you possibly can as a service to God and a service to humanity? So this is a false accusation that following a true path of spirituality makes you ineffective in your work. It should make you more effective because it gives you a higher purpose. So the cleansing of the heart is the greatest need in human society. There are so many doctors, but look what a mess they've made. In the West, doctors don't care anything for their patients. They only care for the money that they bring them. That is not a doctor. In Vedic culture, it was the Brahmins who were the doctors, and they never accepted one paisa from anyone. They did it because they felt empathy and sympathy for people suffering, and they wanted to help them. But now it has simply become a big business, motivated by greed. And the lawyers, and the politicians, and the businessmen, practically every occupation. Everyone is motivated by greed. What this world needs is people with these distinguished and dignified professional qualifications who are pure, who are model examples for the world to follow, who are motivated by love. And this is what this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to instill within the hearts of society, and especially within the hearts of the youth of society. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, used to say that if the college students do not adopt an understanding of God consciousness scientifically and apply it to their lives, then this whole world will degenerate into something of great chaos. So you must all recognize the very serious responsibility that is in your hands. We may think that we are really small and what can we do to change the world? But by the grace of God, even the smallest little part can do great things. And if we can receive that grace of God, we cannot calculate how much good we can do on behalf of Krishna for the world we live in. So do not take your Krishna consciousness to be something simply that you enjoy. Hopefully you do enjoy it, because it is wonderful. Society of pure-hearted people striving for perfection, chanting, dancing, hearing nice philosophy, eating nice prasad. It is the most enjoyable and peaceful life. But it is also our gravest responsibility. More than getting good grades in our college and passing our exams, it is our responsibility to live in harmony with the will of God and to purify our lives and learn to be instruments of compassion in this world. So we should be motivated in this way. And this is possible by associating with people who are teaching these true principles of religion in a very scientific, philosophical, and logical way that is convincing to our hearts and based on real authority. The authority of the scriptures, the previous acharyas. And when we associate with people and learn from such people, then our whole life, our life becomes full of light and hope and meaning and purpose, and this brings about real happiness. And all of our relationships should be based on these principles, as far as possible. So really, this is your great responsibility. And those who are willing to accept this responsibility, they will be rewarded eternally. And those who do not, they will simply continue through the frustrating efforts of the dualities of material existence. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, birth, death. So we have to make our choice and to see all of you making this choice is the greatest happiness in our lives. Not only for yourself, but for the world. So I want to very deeply offer my grateful thankfulness to each of you for taking this bold step in your life to live for the truth and to protect the principles of truth. And also to thank you for the wonderful service many of you have done in the medical camp during the yatra of what's going between Alandi and Pandharpur. Many people there, very poor, with religious intentions. They were in distressful condition. And to assist them was something very wonderful. But more than that, even just the idea that we were coming together to work very hard and put huge amounts of effort and sacrifice without expectation of anything material in return, but just for the sake of service to God and service to humanity is a wonderful exercise, and it's perhaps the most wonderful training in our life. By giving prasad, by giving the holy name, we are giving medicine to a person's soul. By giving our kindness, the kindness that we are receiving from Krishna, we are giving medicine to a person's mind. And by giving whatever professional abilities you have in the form of chemical or herbal medicines, you are giving medicine for the person's body. Suffering is on three levels, and good health is on three levels: the body, the mind, and the soul. And a compassionate person does not want to neglect either of the three. By giving prasad, by giving medications, we can give health to a person's body. By giving kindness, friendship, proper direction, we can give medicine to give health to the mind. But we should know that the body and mind are temporary, and ultimately they're going to be transformed. The body will die, no matter what you do for it, in due course of time. So giving medicine to the body and mind is just giving some temporary relief. But if you give the proper medicine to a person's soul, you are giving them the greatest charity, the greatest gift, because you are giving them eternal life. And that medicine is the holy name of God. That medicine is the instructions of Krishna, as he has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, of how to live a holy life in harmony with truth. And that medicine comes in the form of prasad, which purifies the body, the mind, and the soul. So this is the unique feature of these wonderful camps that you are performing, is you are really reaching out in a holistic effort to cure the body, the mind, and the souls of suffering humanity. And it is a much needed example for the world to see. And the world will see more and more as you put more effort in this direction. So we are very, very thankful to all of you, especially to Dhananjay Prabhu, because Dhananjay went through tremendous efforts to try to coordinate this project and to recruit as many helpers as possible. It's not an easy thing. And Padmavati Mataji is always very much making great sacrifices for these projects. And of course, all of you. Thank you very much. Keep up the blessed work that you are performing, and increase as much as possible both your studies as well as your spiritual bhajan and sadhana. It is very important. You have seen the rice husk with rice that is not inside. Empty husk, looks like rice, but what is the use? A good education with all sorts of professional talents without love and devotion to God is like an empty husk. There's no substance. There's no purpose. So please, I think it's come to wherever devotees are gathering as much as possible. Chant with the devotees. Dance with the devotees. Read these wonderful books that Guru Maharaj has given us in such a dynamic style. He has presented the absolute truth. Live very pure lives. We should live by the highest principles. And we should propagate this way of life to whoever possibly we can reach. Do not ever allow anyone to embarrass you by thinking that you're doing something wrong. You are living normally. The world is not normal. If you just read the newspaper, you can see the world is not normal. The world is crazy because it's forgotten its very essence, which is Krishna. So stand up for the truth, and this will give dignity and purpose to your life, and will bring about the infinite mercy of God. Arrivo.